Mostly because it has Justin Timberlake in it. And I have a man crush on him, but that's okay. So how many of you guys do that in real life? Where you like, well, hashtag things in real life? Only when you're making fun of people? Okay, cool. I was glad it wasn't like, I do that, everybody does that. That's cool. Good, because if you did that, if you were always like, hashtag snowpocalypse outside today, hashtag no fun to make it to church, hashtag sledding, we'd have to have a conversation. But anyways, welcome to High Point. My name is Kyle. I'm so glad that you all made it through the blizzard that apparently is ravaging Puyallup right now. So how many of you guys went sledding last night? Some of you? A couple of you? Yeah. So we went sledding last night. Well, okay, what's the craziest thing you guys have ever, like, sledded down in Puyallup? Like, throw it out. Like, is there anything, like, is there, like, a big hill you guys know of? Because, huh? The roof? You sled off a roof? I was like, wow, that's pretty intense. Because last night, I was with Jordan Merck, Kevin Metschke, Ryan Maxfield, and the three of us were four guys on the hunt for the perfect slope around Puyallup. And we didn't find it. So I was hoping you guys would be able to help me out, but it's okay. By the Texaco? Morning View? Okay. Oh, wait, I think that was one. Is that one of the places we went? Morning View? Yeah, that place is pretty awesome. We raced, and Kevin and I won, so it was awesome. Anyways, enough about sledding. I love it. We are in a series this week called Pull Your Head App Out of Your. It's actually Pull Your Head Out of Your App, APP. But we like to make fun of Jordan because of how he made the artwork. So anyways, this is the third week in the series, and we've been sort of talking about social media, how it influences the way that we interact with people, interact with different friends. And ultimately how we interact with God. So, because ultimately social media is teaching us how to interact because it's so inundated in our culture that it's teaching us how to interact. There's so many different companies and organizations and groups that use hashtags as just part of their business model. Like a lot of radio contests I know are take a picture and hashtag, you know, whatever, move a 92.5 and you can get entered in a contest. Or even High Point, we did something for Summit where if you took an Instagram picture, you could win a free trip to Summit if you hashtag Summit 2014. And so this is just all around our culture all the time, and so we just wanted to talk about it and kind of just discuss how it's affecting our friendships and relationships. Because what happens when we're in this social media culture is you're used to things like Snapchat, which is 7 to 10 seconds, a tweet, which is 140 characters, or a Vine, for instance, which is only 6 seconds long. And so you're used to these really short bursts of information or of interaction, and then you're onto something else. Like if you, scroll through your Twitter feed, you can kind of like scroll up with your finger and read everything as it goes by. And so even though I follow certain people, I'm not learning anything about them as I read their tweets necessarily. I'm not getting to know them on a more personal level. I'm just learning little facts about them that I decided to put on the internet. So we just wanted to talk about that. And so as part of this series, and just to show kind of how connected we are to social media and how connected we feel like we need to be to social media, we took a fast. There are some of us that took a fast from social media. So basically what a fast is, if you're not entirely sure, it's where you take an intentional break from something. So you specifically stop doing something for a period of time with the intention of listening to God more, hearing from God more specifically. So for instance, in the Bible, a lot of times if they fast, they would fast from food. And so there's a time where Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. He didn't eat or drink for 40 days. That's a really, really long time, if you can comprehend. That's like over a month of not eating. I can't go like 4 hours without eating, so I don't know if I could do that. But the whole intention, the whole purpose behind fasting is for us to pull something away that we really, think is near and dear to our heart, like food, and start relying on God and realize that when we're hungry, it's like, oh, I need to rely on God here. I need to listen to what he's trying to tell me. And it just causes us to understand that we need to rely on God, not necessarily on more earthly things for a period of time. So some of us fasted from social media and technology. How many of you did that? How many of you at least attempted it? Okay, so now keep your hands up. How many of you only made it one day? If you only made it one day, put your hands down. That is a lot of people who only made it one day. Did you? Okay, so everybody put your hands back up. How many of you only, after one day, you looked at social media? Keep your hand, if so, I obviously didn't practice this. This is sort of spur of the moment. If you made it more than one, so everybody who tried, put your hands up. If you failed after one day, if like we started this 2 weeks ago on Sunday, if by like Monday morning you had looked at the internet or like social media, put your hand down. That's okay. That makes me feel better. How about if you made it for the whole week? If you lasted one whole week without looking at social media? That's almost everybody again. How about if you made it the entire 2 weeks? If you still haven't looked at social media today? That was almost everybody. Good job, guys. I'm very, very impressed with you. So if, just so you can all breathe, the fast ends today. You can all check your Twitter and you can look at all 800 Snapchats you all have. Get rid of all those notifications that are on your phone. But so we tried this. We just did this as a group just to kind of see what happens and see how really connected we are to social media. Because one thing that happened for me is I fasted. I made it. I survived. I'm a survivor. One thing is that the fast was 14 days, right? So 2 weeks. I got 10 emails from Facebook telling me that I had notifications that I hadn't looked at. So in 14 days, they sent me 10 emails saying, Kyle, you need to check Facebook. There's something really critical that you missed. Your friend posted a status. So even though we're like, oh, we can take a break from social media. Like last week, Gary talked about how delete doesn't work. I had deleted the app from my phone. I had deleted the bookmark from my computer. But Facebook was still finding a way to get inside my life, and it was driving me nuts. But so we just tried to stay away from it as much as possible. So one thing I learned this week is I learned that this crazy, I have an iPhone 5. The craziest thing about this iPhone is that it makes phone calls. And I wasn't really aware of that until this fast because some of you are just now understanding this. Sometimes how I communicate with people, or a lot of times, is just through text or like a Facebook message. Like I'm trying to get in contact with some of you guys, I'll just shoot you a quick Facebook message because I'm on there all the time and so are you. So it's really easy, sort of quick communication. But since we weren't on Facebook, I actually had to call people and try to interact with them in a real way. And so like, for instance, I talked to Maverick on the phone in the last 2 weeks. And that's, it was weird. It was like the first time ever. It was really strange. Like I think I talked to Matt Haley on the phone. But we talked about car stuff, so that was okay. Because before that, basically the only person I call is my mom, you know? Because she loves me and wants to make sure that I'm doing okay. Everybody go, aw, yeah, my mom loves me, it's great. But I actually had to make phone calls this week to interact with people because we weren't allowed to use this social media. And sort of the purpose behind this is to try and increase our personal interactions, to try and remove some of those barriers, remove some of the mediations of the internet, and try and interact with people more face-to-face. And it was cool to do this because social media is everywhere in our society. Like it's like we just talked about, it's everywhere. I got a chance to go to the Seahawks victory parade. And if you haven't heard, the Seahawks are world champions. Yes. Go Seahawks. I know that some of you were like, yay, sports and stuff. But I love the Seahawks. It's so this whole thing was amazing for me. Hashtag Super Bowl champions. Hashtag C. I've always wanted to do that. So anyways, Ryan Maxfield and I got to go to the Super Bowl parade in Seattle. And it was kind of a crazy experience because there was like 800,000 people, 700, whatever. There was a lot of people in this one street. And it was funny because he and I were a part of the fast, so we were like taking some pictures just to, you know, have a memory that we were there, but we weren't focused on posting them on the internet. We were just kind of like take a picture and put our phones down. But it was kind of creepy, and I get that, but just to kind of see what other people were doing, I would like watch people as they were watching the parade. So like there was some ladies next to us, and I was sort of watching them creepily, and they were like taking pictures. They were standing next to each other, like taking pictures with their phones and not looking at each other or talking to each other, like taking a picture and posting on Instagram. And then I saw her scroll through her feed, and there were like three friends in a row who had all had the same exact picture because they were standing in a line, and so it's like the view isn't that much different. And so it was like I posted a picture, and I posted a picture, and I posted a picture, and we're not talking to each other, but we're here, and we're just posting on the internet. And so I realized it was weird that I was looking at somebody else's phone. But I just wanted to see it. It's okay. Because that's how connected we are to social media, is that we need all the time to be letting our followers know what we're doing, and we start ignoring the people we're with. And so it's kind of fun. I don't know, it's fun for me anyways, that I got to just hang out with Ryan, and he and I got to like walk around a whole lot, and we just got to just talk most of the time because we weren't glued to our phones. We didn't have this need to take a picture, post it, take a picture, post it. because that's what our culture is created, is that as soon as a photo hits your camera roll on your phone, gotta post it because your followers need to know. But why are we so drawn to social media? So we've kind of talked about that we are, but why are we so drawn to social media? What's the big thing that's like, why do we need this so much? And why is it so hard for us to take social media away from our lives? Like, why do we freak out so much when somebody takes our phone? Do you guys freak out if somebody like takes your phone and they hide it? Do you freak out? Yeah, you freak out? Okay, cool, me too. So anyways, if you're going to take notes with us today, this is where we're going to start answering this question. Why are we so drawn to connection? And it's that God created us to be connected because he desires connection with us. God created us to be connected because he desires connection with us. So if you were wondering why we want to be connected, that's why. We're wired to be connected. We were created to be in connection with God and connection with each other. And that's why we like social media, because it gives us this sort of like fake sense of connectedness, because you can have all these friends and you can interact with them so fast, but you don't necessarily know anything about them. But, oh, I'm connected to 100 people at one time. I must be connected. And we want that because we were created to be connected. But so from the time that God created us, he's been trying to connect with us. That's been his goal. That's one of the big reasons he created us, is so that he could connect with us and that he could love us. Because God doesn't, some people have this view of God, that he sort of is like sitting way over here, like on a lofty little cloud. And the way that he sends messages to earth is with thunderbolts. And he's like really far away. He's like, oh, I really have an important message here. They'll get it. They'll get it in a while. And then fish grabs it and then steals it. So that's okay. But that's not what God wanted to do. God created the world. He created everything in it. He created humans and Adam and Eve. And then he jumped in to spend time face to face with us. So we're going to jump into Genesis here, right at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 3, verse 8. So at this point, God has created the earth. He's created water, plants, animals, humans, and now we're in the Garden of Eden talking about Adam and Eve. So we're going to jump into verse 8, and it says, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So at this point, Adam and Eve have just sinned, so that's why they're hiding from God, because they're like, oh, we messed up. And God's right there, so we need to go over here and hide from him, because we don't want him to find us. But God was right there with him, or with them. It says that they could hear God walking in the garden. And I don't know, like if God's way over here and I'm way over there, I can't like hear him walking around, and I'm not like trying to hide from him. But if he's close to me, if we're together, that's when I can hear him walking around. And so he was already with them. God had just created the earth, and he was already spending time with his creation. And that's what we were designed for. God designed Adam and Eve. He designed us to spend time together. But at this point in the story, everything is all kosher, right? So they're in the garden. They're in like the perfect living environment. They are spending time with God, the creator. And then they sin. And when they sinned, they separated themselves from God. They did something that God had commanded them not to do. They ate of the fruit in the garden. And so they broke that connection. When Adam and Eve first sinned, they broke that connection that God had initially intended for us. And they got kicked out of the garden. They got separated from God. And God's ideal sort of world for us kind of fell apart right there. But that's not okay for God. God wasn't excited. He wasn't like, oh, cool. Well, you know, I tried to connect with them, and they unfriended me. So I guess I'll hang out over here. God was like, all right, so they tried to break this connection with me. They messed up. That's okay, because I'm going to keep pursuing them. And God has been working. God has worked to reestablish that ideal connection, that sort of Garden of Eden connection with us. And we see this through the person of Jesus. God became a human being. So it's just like, I know you've heard this a million times. We always talk about this at church, that Jesus is God in the flesh, right? We sort of talk about that a lot. But really think of that. Like, God originally created humans to hang out, to be together, to be connected face to face, and so they could hang out in the garden. Then when we as humans separated ourselves from God, God says, all right, I have to keep pursuing them. It's not good enough for me just to be this far away. So then God sent Jesus to earth to be in the flesh, to spend time with us. So that's going to be your next fill-in, is that God became a human to spend face-to-face time with us. This is important. I don't think I can, I mean, I probably could say this too many times in a day, but I don't think I really can, because God wasn't content to be far away from us. He wasn't content to just, you know, send messages through thunderbolts. He wanted to be directly in contact with us. He wanted to be face to face with us. And so that's why he sent Jesus to earth, is so that he could continue to be in personal, face to face, real physical relationships with people. The book of John sort of describes this whole thing. So we're going to jump around the first chapter a little bit. So we're going to start in the very, very beginning of the chapter. So John 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I guess I messed that up. So that's good. So when it says the Word here, it's talking about Jesus. So it says, "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God." So this is the idea of the Trinity at the very beginning of time, that God, we talked about this in a series right around Christmas time, says that the Trinity is one, there's one God that we as Christians believe in. But that God has three persons, God the Father, God the Son, who's Jesus, and then God the Holy Spirit. And so what John 1:1 is saying is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have always been together. They've always been in community with each other, and it's been that way since the very, very beginning. So even right away, it talks about relationships. It talks about how God himself is a relationship, and that's what he wants us to be in, and that Jesus has been with God from the beginning. So then if we jump to verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus became a human. Jesus has been spending all this time with God. Jesus is God. And then to reestablish a connection with humans who've sinned, Jesus came down to earth. And God did this to extend a relationship to us again. Even though it had been broken in the Garden of Eden, God said to reestablish that through Jesus. So verse 18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the unique one," talking about Jesus, "who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." Because there have been different stories in the Bible, and no one has ever been allowed to see God face to face. Like I'm looking at you guys, and I can see all of your faces, and you can see my face. That's never happened in any story in the Bible. There's a story of Moses in the Old Testament, and he got to see the back of God. He got to see God as God was walking away from him. But nobody has ever gotten to see the real, true face of God. So what this is talking about here is that by God sending Jesus to earth, God is showing us to himself. That God isn't just telling us who he is through a book, because we can't see him face to face. We can be in his presence, but we can't look at him in the eye. So God doesn't just say, "Well, you can't do that, so I'm just going to tell you who I am through a book. Or I'm just going to have somebody tell you and just describe it to you what I'm like." That's like, I'm going to send me to you. He sends us Jesus so that we can spend time with God. And that way that God the Father is revealed to us through Jesus, because he spent face-to-face time with us. Like I said before, God created us to be connected. And he created us to be connected with him. So that's why it's so important that he takes that extra step and is like, "I need to connect you with Jesus, my son." So we were created to be in community, right? I've said that a million times, so I'm hoping that that's starting to click. We were created to be in community, and what we've started to do with the invention of MySpace and Facebook and all these things is we've begun to see connectedness as social networking. We begin to see those as the same thing. I'm on Facebook and I have 700 friends. That means I'm connected with 700 people. When really, that's not true, and it's really superficial. And that means that if I only contact you through Facebook, everything is mediated through my phone, and we're not actually having a personal relationship. So what we need to do, we'll talk about this more in a minute, is we need to increase our actual physical contacts with each other. Because I know that for me, when I called, even though Maverick and I, for instance, we had it was a minute maybe we were on the phone maximum. I still felt like it was a much cooler interaction than if I had just messaged him on Facebook or text him. Because I actually got to hear his voice. We got to talk a little bit about not necessarily just what we were planning about. And it was just a much more personal interaction. Talking on the phone, hearing their voice, and then eventually I got to see him face to face. And that was ultimately way better than just having a mediated conversation through our phones. So what now? We've talked about how social media isn't always awesome, how it can sometimes distance our relationships. So what now? Don't worry, you're allowed to use social media. We're not trying to say that social media is bad or you can never use it again. Like I said, the fast is over, so you can go back onto Instagram today. But even though we're heading back into the world of social media, and we're heading back into the world of screens for some of us who've taken a fast, we need to be aware of what social media does for us. So as we take steps forward to try and increase personal relationships, your next fill-in is going to be that mediated contact is not necessarily bad. So talking through Facebook or texting is not necessarily bad, but unmediated contact is always best. So to restate this, talking over Facebook is not always bad. Facebook messaging is not always bad, but talking face-to-face is always better. If that makes more sense to you. This sort of language is seen quite a bit throughout the Bible. Paul is one of the guys who wrote a huge chunk of the New Testament. And he's usually in jail when he's writing these letters, so that's an interesting time to be writing the Bible, which is supposed to teach us how to live, you know, a prosperous life. But, well, not prosperous necessarily, more godlike life, which theoretically keeps you out of jail. Whatever, anyways. But in most of his letters, because Paul can't be with people, in his letters he says, I long to be with you. I wish that I was telling this to you face to face, but I can't. I'm here. I'm away from you, so this letter is the closest thing I have. But Paul is always saying, I wish I could hang out with you face to face. I wish I could be with you, but since I can't, I'm going to write you a letter instead. Now, think about this personally for you. When does this happen? I know for me, I know I talk about her a lot now, but I'm dating Ainsley Hegel. I talk about her a lot because she's awesome. And so she and I, we'll text each other. She's actually, we can add her to the list of people I call on the phone because I've started doing that more now. But when we text each other when we're having conversations, because she and I can only hang out, you know, every so often because she's in Seattle and I'm here. But like when I'll text her, I'll be like, I'm really excited to see you like next week when we're going to hang out. It's always a text that says, I'm excited to see you. But when we're hanging out together, when we're like, you know, on a date or whatever, I've never ever said, hey, you know what? I'm really excited to text you tomorrow when I'm not hanging out with you. Right? That's really strange to be like, hey, I know we're hanging out, but I'm really excited to text you. See ya. that's just weird, right? To think about that. That we value being connected with each other. And even like, I've been to lunch with, you know, Michael, for instance. Michael and I went out a little while ago, and when we were planning lunch, I was like, hey, I'm really excited to go to lunch with you. Now, when I was at lunch, it wasn't like, hey, dude, I'm really excited for you to go home so I can Facebook message you again, but I'm just excited to hang out with you. That's how we're wired. We're wired to enjoy personal contact with each other. And we're not designed to spend time alone. We're designed to spend time together. So in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews talks about this so directly. So it's in Hebrews 10. It's the next verse on your list. It's in Hebrews 10, verse 25. It says, and let us not neglect our meetings together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is near. He says, don't neglect personal meetings. Don't pull yourself away. Don't not hang out with people. He says, hang out with people. Be in community. Be together. Be in a personal, like, hang out face-to-face with people. Don't just do it over letters. Like, actually be with people. Because the concern that he has is that we're starting to prefer mediated contact. we're starting to prefer sending texts. We're starting to prefer sending Facebook messages. Or we're starting to prefer just posting a picture on Instagram and be like, well, people will know where I am. They'll know what I'm doing, so that's good enough. I don't need to talk to anybody because I post this picture, so if they care, they'll look at my Instagram. And the concern is that we're starting to prefer that method over what God intended for us, over us actually being in personal relationships with people. We've started to choose this sort of sugar-coated version of interacting with each other. This idea of like, well, I'll put a filter on my life and it will look okay. Because we're not living the way that Jesus actually commands us to live. So, like I've said in this, like we've sort of said in this series before, social media and technology are not bad things at all. Technology is actually really helpful because if we didn't have technology, I would be talking to you guys in the dark. You wouldn't be writing on anything, and I would not be, my voice wouldn't be projected through those speakers. So ultimately, technology is really awesome. And when it comes to things like Skype and different tools like that, it is really cool because it lets you communicate over really long distances. So when you can't be with somebody, that's a great next step is to, you're still able to communicate with them even though they're far away. But we need to understand as we're moving forward, as we keep moving forward with our understanding of how to have real, if you guys couldn't tell, I totally messed up in typing my notes, so I like had something out of order, so bear with me. So as we keep moving forward with our understanding of how to have real relationships, right, how to sort of pull the mediations away and how to have real relationships, I want you guys to sort of think through this phrase. It's do life, don't just plan on it. Do life, don't just plan on it. Put this on a coffee mug or on a sticker or something. It's kind of cool. So I actually stole this saying from a book. Because, you know, why think of real content when smarter people than you have brilliant ideas out there that you can just borrow? So it's a book called Love Does, and I've talked about the book before because it's really cool how the author describes love. Because sometimes we think of love as just a feeling like, oh, I love you. Thanks, great. But the author describes love as an action. Love does things. So when you want to love people and show love to people, that's an action. You have to actually do something to show love to people. So it says do life, don't just plan on it. Actually go do stuff. Actually show love to people. Don't just plan on it, or don't just tweet about it, or don't just have intentions to do it, but actually go do it. God didn't plan on coming to earth. He didn't just plan on it. He actually did it. And I'm really pumped that he actually did do it. Because Jesus shows up physically in our lives. He showed up physically in people's lives. Back in the Bible, he was actually in the flesh there with them, like in the same room as them. And now the Holy Spirit is with us and helping us to move forward and live the life that Christ wanted us to live. And when Jesus was on earth, when he was physically here, the Gospels record this, so books like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talk about Jesus' life. But when he was here, he spent physical time with people. If people had questions, they could actually walk up to Jesus and ask him. He didn't have a secretary and was like, well, you have to leave a message with my secretary and then I'll get back to you in 2 to 3 business days. He actually spent physical time and was like, if you have a question, come ask me. I want to teach you. I want to help you. If you have a struggle, if you're hurting, I want to spend time with you. That's what he's modeling for us, is that Jesus didn't just intend to spend time with people. He didn't just intend to heal people. He actually went out and did it. That's what he models for us, is we can't just intend on spending time. We actually need to do it. Because sometimes the gospel is presented like this. It's presented that Jesus died for you, and now you're off to heaven someday. And that's not very compelling. Like, that doesn't get me excited. Somebody would be like, hey, Kyle, you know what? Jesus died for you, so you're going to heaven eventually. It's like, okay, cool. Like, awesome. Thanks for letting me know. The message of the gospel goes way beyond that. And that it's that Jesus became a human, that God became a human on earth to spend time with us and to save us from our sins. To love us by actually doing something. And that gets me a little bit more excited. You know, that Jesus came to earth and he actually lived and he took action to save my life, and then he empowers me to have action to love other people. Through Jesus, God restored that community that was broken in the Garden of Eden. And he models how he wants us to be connected, like I've already talked about. So how this sort of practically looks is that how this sort of practically looks for us is some things we just need to be aware of in our lives as we're moving forward with this whole social media business. Because like I said, we need to increase personal relationships with people, right? Can't just do everything through a phone. We need to increase how we actually talk to people. So here are some practical ways that you can increase just actually hanging out with people. So the first one is actually hang out with people. I know this is like super duper shocking and like groundbreaking news. If you want to increase knowing people and like getting to know people better, you can hang out with them. You can go knock on their door and you can spend time together. It's a novel concept. I challenge you to give that a shot this week. Another way is that you can volunteer somewhere. So this can be anywhere. You can volunteer at like a Boys and Girls Club or the YMCA, or if you want to go to like the Tacoma Rescue Mission, I know that there are some Family Smart Church that go there. But even, it's simpler than that, volunteering here at High Point. Because what that allows you to do is it brings you into a community of people who are working here to put church on. Because for those of you who don't know, everything that gets set up here is all done by volunteers. All done by you guys who are sitting in the chairs. You guys set everything up, and you guys tear it down every single week, which is so awesome. Because it's just not the same if like three people have to do it. The band is basically all volunteers. Jordan's the only person who gets paid to play in the band. Everybody else is up there because they love Jesus and they love music and they love you guys. Our tech team is all volunteers. We have a team that prays for you, all volunteers. We have a team that follows up with you guys, all volunteers. All this stuff happens through volunteering. And that's just a huge, huge, huge way to get closer, get FaceTime with actual people, and get FaceTime with God. So volunteer somewhere. Think about it. The third one is to try and get as close to face-to-face interactions as possible. It's a little bit longer. So what I'm talking about here is say that you usually use Facebook as a messaging system. So what I'm talking about is going from just sending a Facebook message to actually sending a text message. A little more personal. You have to actually have their phone number, which means you've talked to them maybe once at least. And then you go from sending a text message to making a phone call. Even more personal, you get to hear their voice. It's all instant. And then really, if you really just want to go crazy with this idea, move from a phone call to actually hanging out with them and talking to them in person. Oh, this is scary. I know. It's crazy. So use this and just try and get a little bit closer to people. That was one of the things that I talked about that I've learned through this fast is just take one step closer in interacting with people. And the last and final one is give your full attention to those who you're with. It's really easy for us, especially in this society. I know Gary talked about this last week of there's a lull in the conversation. Just get my phone out and see what everybody else is doing because this is kind of awkward. But that just gives us a scapegoat for trying to actually hang out with people. So next time you're hanging out with somebody, try and just give them your full attention. Be fully present with your phone in your pocket and ultimately just spend time with them. So this week, what I want you guys to just think about is what's one way that I can spend more FaceTime with actual people? Because social media is good, social media is great, but ultimately we're created to be connected with people specifically. So if you guys could all get your comm cards out, that would be super duper wonderful. If you